Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Find Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. When Kelly and I came to Gainesville, I'm telling y'all my stories, but I want you to know that North Central, we are indebted in so many ways to this church family. First of all, this is the church that gave me my wife. Amen? I mean, wow. That's enough right there that I'm indebted to the church forever, okay? But when I came here right out of seminary, we had one goal when we were in seminary, and that was to graduate from seminary without a lot of debt. Actually, without any debt. That was our goal. And we did that. Praise the Lord. Our church here helped us and others helped us, and we worked and we were able to get the scholarship that Southern Baptists give to their students, and we had a wonderful time in seminary. But we came to North Central, and the church had a mission house. They had several mission houses, and they had a duplex. It was right on the corner. See, what is the road that goes right by the side of the church there? Does anybody know? The old location. 4th Street. So on the corner of 4th Street and 16th Avenue was a duplex. I go by there every once in a while, and I remember living in that would be the south side of it. I didn't live right on 16th. I lived closer to the church in that duplex. But the church allowed us to live there free for about 6 months. Now, they did that for a couple of reasons. One is they didn't want their youth pastor to be just totally dirt poor, because I needed that. That helped me, okay? But they also, it enabled us to save up a little money. Because what we did is we went and found our very first house that we wanted to try to buy. This took us a little while, and we went and found a house. And here's what we did, and you're wondering where this story's going. I'm going to tie this in to the Holy Spirit. We put down a down payment. Now, what we did is we went to the people and we said, look, Jim Rockwell was our realtor. We said, Jim said, I've got a house I think you need to look at. We looked at it, and it was actually someone that we knew had built it, and some folks we knew had lived in it, and they said, this would be the good house for you. It was 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. It was the most wonderful mansion I'd ever seen. I mean, we were so excited. But we told them, we said, we want that house. And they said, well, you got to come with this money. We said, we got to do what? They said, well, wait a minute. You put down a down payment, and then you go out, and you secure financing to finish it off. They said, if you'll put down this down payment, this will be the assurance that the rest is coming. So the seller knows that if you're willing to put what you have down, that they know you're good for the rest. Does that make sense? That was a down payment. Some people have called that earnest money. You put down earnest money. You put down a down payment. Number 2 on our Bible study tonight. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. God the Father gave us the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, look, you think the Holy Spirit's amazing? And he is. Oh, the Holy Spirit is unbelievable. But it is the earnest of our inheritance. We have not received, folks, we have not received, if you're a Christian, you have not received all that you're going to receive. For one thing, look, this old body, this old red hair. When I was a kid, they said I'd rather be dead than red on the head. You know what? When I was born, we just had a baby born to Rachel. We don't know, blonde, brown hair. But when I was born, man, it was carrot red. And somebody said, he's got red hair. My mom said, well, he does not. but I did. And she later loved it and made a big deal out of it that I had red hair. But hey, redheads are special. I just wanted you to know that, okay? But anyway, why was I telling you that? How did I get off on that? What was I telling? Yeah. Yeah, but there was some other reason. I wouldn't have gone in. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I almost ran out of trail on that one. But anyway, you know, here's the thing, folks. We have been saved in our spirit. Do you know you are, when the Lord sees you, you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, in your spirit. You are being saved. That means that your lifestyle is working to where it is more like Christ. It should be. You should be more like Jesus today than you were last year. See what I'm saying? You should be growing in Christ. So we are being saved, but we will be saved. And the will be saved is this old body right here. This is dying. I can't do what I used to do. I got a torn meniscus. I got a bum shoulder a little bit, you know. I don't receive that. I'm doing okay. But my point is, the older I get, the more I realize, you know, this thing's ticking away, you know. Dum dum, dum dum, dum dum, dum dum. My heart's beating. I don't even know about it. It's just dum dum. Well, one day it's gonna. Dum. Is that it? No. The Holy Spirit that I have right now is the down payment for the full deal. And you have that if you have the Holy Spirit. Now, look on our sheet here quickly. We have talked about the promises of God. Can God do what he wants to do? Absolutely. We review that at the top. Can he? Yes. Will he? Yes. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is perfect towards him. He is faithful to keep his promises. So we have promises about heaven, promises related to discouragement, promises about forgiveness, guidance, strength, forgiving others, the peace of God. We are loved. Praise God for that. We have victory over temptation. And now tonight, the promise of the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. John 14, 16. Then he said to him, hold on. It's not in Luke 14, is it? I'm sorry, John 14. I was in Luke. John 14, 16 says this, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, capital H, that's the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit has been given to you by the Father if you know him. Now, John chapter 7, verse 39. I had this marked down. This is an extra one I didn't put on the page. John chapter 7, verse 39. Says this, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. That's what I wanted you to see. But the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But after Jesus ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit. And who got the Holy Spirit? Those whom those believing in him would receive. So, if you have believed on Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. Now, back to John chapter 16. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we have the promise of the Holy Spirit. God has sent us his Holy Spirit to give us power to live, to bring conviction in our life, to encourage us, and we're going to talk about all the things that the Holy Spirit has done. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. He is the down payment, okay, that we have been given. Now, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. We're going to look at all these scriptures tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is the temple, and that's the blank, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God dwelt in the temple. In the New Testament, the Spirit of God dwells in the church. I've said this to you before, but just as a reminder, you know, this is a special place, right? Amen? It is. This is a very special place. And sometimes I will even pray, Lord, thank you that we've come to the house of God, you know, as the church. But can I tell you this? The Lord's in you. He's not in this building. Now, I love this building, and I think we need to take care of it. We need to honor it. We don't need to belittle it in any way just because we know that the Holy Spirit just doesn't stay in here. We need to honor this building. But the truth of the matter is, when you walk in here is when the Holy Spirit's in here. If you are a believer, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was in the temple. In the New Testament, he's in the temple, and that's you. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you don't want to do anything with your temple that doesn't honor the Lord. And that's a battle. It's a battle to never go anywhere you shouldn't go, to never look at anything you shouldn't see, to never do anything with these hands you shouldn't do, to listen to something you shouldn't hear. But the truth of the matter is you take Jesus wherever your body goes. I remember working with youth for so long, even way back in the day, working with them here at North Central. There was a skit we used to do where a teenager who was a Christian was being invited to go to a party where there were things happening they shouldn't have been doing. There was a big party going on with drinking and immorality and things like that. And so the Christian student wanted to be popular, and the other student was pressuring, "Hey, come to the party. Hey, come to the party." And so there in the skit, Jesus was right there with the teenager that was a Christian. And so the teenager said, "Okay, I'll come," and Jesus was going with them. And they turned around and they said no, and they took Jesus and they put him down in their bedroom in a chair, and they said, "Stay right here, I'm going to the party." And so the Christian kid tried to go to the party, and Jesus got up and just went with him. Aggravated the fool out of that Christian kid in the skit. Finally, he kept on, and Jesus kept following. Finally, he took Jesus, that teenager took Jesus, and in the skit, it's very powerful, took Jesus and took his arms and put him up like this and went like he was nailing him to a cross, and then took him up, put him on the cross, and tried to go their way. The truth is, our sin is what nailed Jesus to the cross. And if you are a believer, everywhere you go, you take Jesus with you. You take the Lord with you. You take the Holy Spirit with you, because you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. All right. John chapter 16 and verse 13 tells us some very important things about the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13 says this: "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So, number four, the Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth. By the way, I don't know that I said this. On number one, The Holy Spirit is given by the Father and is in us. Okay? That's number one. The Holy Spirit is given by the Father and is in us. Number four, the Holy Spirit is our guide into all truth. Kelly's dad always reminds me of this next scripture in John 14, 26. This is one of the most encouraging scriptures. You're in a tough situation. Look what the Holy Spirit does in John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And listen, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. That's one of the reasons we want to hide God's word in our heart. We want to memorize scripture. I was driving back from Tennessee, and I got on my phone, and I could download a sermon. And Craig, I downloaded Dawson Trotman's Funeral. Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, was a great proponent of scripture memory. And they talked about the word of God in his life, how he continued to memorize God's word. Well, listen, when you have a quiver full of scriptures and you come into a situation, you think, I don't know that I would remember that. The scripture says in our passage in verse 26 that he will teach you all things and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit can go back into that arsenal and bring that scripture out and help you in that difficulty that you face. Go to Romans chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 8. If the brightest facet on a diamond was, if the Bible was the ring, the brightest facet on the diamond would be the book of Romans, some have said. Chapter 8 is the sparkle on the diamond. Many say this passage, this chapter of Scripture is just unbelievable in terms of all that is there. Well, in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, we find out something about the Holy Spirit. Very powerful. Romans 8, 26 and 27 says this, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what mind the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Back up in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps. The word helps means to come alongside in place of another to help bear the burden. And then the Bible says that he himself makes intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times in life when you don't even know how to pray or what to pray. You are so burdened. There have been very few times that have been that rare for me, but I have been in situations like that. And the scripture says the Holy Spirit helps us pray. The blank there is the word pray. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. I heard the illustration used in that passage. It's like moving a piano. Now, if I had Stanley, he could probably, I wouldn't need as many people. But if me and Stanley and Robert and Chip and Chris were trying to move a piano, I'd be on one side, and I could look like I was carrying the weight, you know. It wouldn't be quite as much. I'd be seeing how much Stanley would get. But you know, if you're in the illustration, it's like this: you're doing the lifting, you're coming alongside. And you know what you're doing for the person that owns the piano? You're helping. And then it's so heavy, you go, One great expositor said it's like when you get in a situation that is so dark in your life. Listen. because you may hear the Holy Spirit groan in your heart and know that He is praying for you. That's powerful. He helps us to pray when we don't even know how to pray. And then in Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 27, it says, I will put my spirit within you and will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. The Holy Spirit is what enables us to walk the walk. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then the last verse that's not on here, but I want you to write this verse down. I want you to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The scripture says in Ephesians 5:18, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you need more of the Holy Spirit to fill you up. No, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. If the Lord Jesus is not on the throne of your heart, then He is not in control. The Holy Spirit is not in control. To allow the Holy Spirit to be in control is kind of like someone... If you imagine driving your car is like your life, your car being your life. You know, you're controlling your life, and you're deciding how fast to go, where to turn, where to go. Letting the Holy Spirit take control is to say, I am taking my hands off the wheel, and I'm saying, Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, would you come and take control? And you take me wherever you want to go. So therefore, here's what I say to young people. If you want to be a follower of Christ, and I say this to myself and I say this to all of you, if you want to be a follower of Christ, you can't get up in the morning and do just what you want to do. Now, you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Now, the Lord's probably going to tell you to go to work, do your job. But I tell you one thing, He's going to tell you to do the very best job you could ever do. You know why? Because what does the scripture say? In all you do, do it for the glory of God. Everything you do is for the glory of God. If it's driving a UPS truck, brother, it's for the glory of God. Amen? You got to be the best driver out there. If it's being a pastor, if it's being a teacher, if it's whatever it is you do it for the glory of God. Being a student. So if the Lord is driving the car, then you can't get up in the morning every day and do just what you want to do. You have to do what Jesus wants you to do, being led by the Holy Spirit of God. So how do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? First of all, I would say this. You desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You have to desire to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You have to turn over the controls of your life to the Lord. In John chapter 7, verse 37. Can you find that one for me? John 7, 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. The rivers of living water come for those that are thirsty to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is sincerely desire to be directed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two, confess your sins. Confess your sins and thank God that He has forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. Now, you're not confessing your sins as a believer because they need to be forgiven that they weren't forgiven on the cross. You're confessing your sins to keep account short with God. You want to be right with God, so you confess your sins. When you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then look at the book of Romans. Acts, Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you confess your sins, you desire to be filled with the Spirit, you present every area of your life to God. You present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're saying, Lord, I give you my hands, I give you my eyes, I give you my ears, my feet. Do with me what you want to do. And then by faith, claim the fullness of the Spirit. So you desire to be empowered by the Spirit, confess any known sin, present every area of your life to God as best you can, and then by faith, claim the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I claim the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that when we come to him and ask anything according to his will, we shall have what we ask for. So then you receive that by faith. It's not a feeling. It's like salvation. I look down here and I believe Stanley's saved, but I don't see, I could go out here and look at a lost man and he may have that shirt on. I can't just from the outside, in the same way, it's not like stars shoot off when you're filled with the Spirit, but you claim by faith you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And because you have asked, in his will, you claim that filling of the Holy Spirit. And that is really a commitment that should be done daily. Say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. This morning, before I got up and preached, I always, when I'm over there, I say out loud to the Lord, I say, Lord, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes I don't feel filled with the Holy Spirit, but you know what I have to do? I say, Lord, I claim it, and I believe I am filled with the Holy Spirit because you have commanded me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit today. The promises that the Holy Spirit, that the Lord has given us concerning the Holy Spirit are amazing. I haven't even begun. There are so many more of them, quite frankly. There are so many more promises that we have about the Holy Spirit, that he will guide us into truth and that he will bring to remembrance all those things, that he helps us in our prayer life. He gives us victory over temptation. But we have to ask him. So I would say this to you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? The precious promises of the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.